Get a concise daily market update from Charles Schwab, including the latest on U.S. and global economic news, stock updates, monetary policy decisions, and key results and statistics that may impact your trading. Schwab Market Update, an original podcast from Charles Schwab, provides an information-packed daily market recap in 10 minutes or less. Listen today at schwab.com/marketupdatepodcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
In early 2020, as COVID triggered a global public health crisis, the travel and tourism industry cut back service and slowed down. The cruise industry went further. It completely shut down. As ships sat idle, operators scrambled to survive with no financial precedent to guide them.
All of a sudden, you know, the revenue just turns off.
Right.
They did not teach this in business school, by the way. So, you know, it turns off and you have to figure out, you know, how you're going to ensure that the company has the liquidity needs in order to be able to get to the other side of it.
No revenue at all.
Yeah, for 18
Zero.
Months.
But you have costs and expenses.
That's right. That's right. What you learn in the pandemic is that leadership really matters.
For Royal Caribbean Cruises, the lesson was stark and clear. After generating almost $2 billion in annual profit before COVID, the company lost more than $5 billion in both 2020 and 2021. At the end of 2021, longtime CEO Richard Fain stepped down after 33 years, handing the reins to CFO Jason Liberty.
What was it like that transition going from CFO to CEO?
Yeah, we were still kind of coming out of the pandemic. We were still ramping up our fleet, ramping up our occupancy. And so we had to keep our eye on the ball on, because historically we would bring about 3 ships up a year.
Yeah.
And here we brought up 64 ships.
That's
in a year.
Change.
It's a big change. It's a Herculean effort.
Helping the new CEO meet those challenges, new CFO Naftali Holtz, who moved up from VP of Finance.
I had hired him, I think, about 6 months before the pandemic. Well, I was looking for somebody with a lot of really strong work ethic, somebody who was strategic, somebody who understood how to get things done inside of an organization. And I saw those qualities in Naftali, and he has done an exceptional job coming into the role. He hit the ground running.
That dynamic in the C-suite has helped Royal Caribbean's comeback maintain momentum.
What's it like becoming CFO, working for the individual who was CFO and is now CEO? What's
that
like?
I feel very fortunate because I have someone who has been in the job for many years, is still with the company. Obviously, he has much more responsibility, but he understands.
Yeah.
What it means to be in my job.
So what was that like for you, having been in the CFO role for so long? What did you expect of him?
I rely on him very much to be my eyes and ears, my strategic partner. And I'm also very transparent with him in terms of what I'm thinking about and doing. And sometimes he'll sit there and say, do we really need to spend money on that? And I'll say, yeah, we really need to spend money on that.
I'm a very direct person, and I care. And I feel that that's important for me to make sure that if I feel differently, at least we have a conversation. And, you know, many times I would think one way, and then he would point his point of view, and it would make sense. And I would say, you know what, you're right, and I get behind it.
Advancing the company's long-term mission through honest conversation, that's how Naftali Holtz takes the CFO role forward.
And maybe many years ago, it was about making sure that the numbers are correct and everything is on time and we report correctly. And I think evolved today into much more than that. You know, what is the strategy that we're going to embark on? What does that mean to the financial performance of the company? And how do investors view that? That's one aspect of it. And the other is just making sure that we are always on the pulse.
With its full fleet returning to the seas in 2022, Royal Caribbean has enjoyed a financial rebound. Bookings for 2023 are robust, and they've been accelerating every quarter. In November, the company announced the Trifecta program, a 3-year initiative designed to exceed 2019 performance in key financial metrics by the end of 2025.
Inside the industry, they're confident because there's pent-up demand. People want to travel.
We have 130,000 people sailing with us right now as we talk.
It's amazing.
And they are spending more than they did a month ago. They're spending more than they did a year ago. They're spending more than they did pre-COVID on travel experience. We know the ships that are coming in. These ships are, huge money makers,
right.
Very high yielding because of the inventory mix. There's more space for onboard revenue venues. They're very fuel efficient.
Intent to cruise is climbing. Whether or not that can be sustained, I think, is a question to be answered. And there are a couple of different elements of that. The first being the economy.
Do you get a little nervous with all the recession talk? Or another black swan? Who would have thought? Right? What happened the last couple of years?
It's hard to plan for it, right?
Okay.
So what we are focused on is to making sure that we have the best business, so the business is run well. We are obviously focused on liquidity and our financial metrics, and we want to fix the balance sheet.
Right.
To get back to where we were.
Fixing the balance sheet, that's a heavy lift. Royal Caribbean is carrying nearly $24 billion in debt. Though it's paid down most of its short-term obligations, the debt still looms large. It's a dark cloud over the entire cruise industry.
The valuations for the major cruise lines have gone down, and the debt levels are very high. So they will have difficulties to receive more debt, and it might be very high interest rates.
The debt that we took on, half of it was in order for us to deal with not operating for those 18 months and ramping our business back up.
Staying alive,
that's right. The other half of it was actually because we were growing and we were taking on new ships. And those new ships, we get incredible export credit financing for. And we've done a lot of refinancing, and we do believe over the coming years, we're going to be in a much better place to do two things. One is deleverage and also improve our rating. And so that will also lower our capital costs.
Are you comfortable with that level of debt and being able to service it?
Well, we're not happy with it. We want to get, our goal is to get back to the balance sheet we had, which is an investment grade profile. We're back sailing, at 96% occupancies. We're generating cash flow from operations. So, our goal is now to continue to grow EBITDA, continue to grow the cash flow so we can, pay down the debt and bring the balance sheet back. This business is very resilient.
We always said that we wanted to have a balance sheet that could take a punch, and we proved that we had a balance sheet that could actually take a meteor. And so I think that's why, NAF is very focused, I'm very focused on getting back to a investment grade balance sheet. I'm getting back to an unencumbered balance sheet. That sets us up for events as they come forward.
Can Royal Caribbean perform its way back to unencumbered financial stability? The cruise line generates about 60% of revenue from sales of tickets. Most of the rest comes from onboard spending. At the moment, higher prices aren't holding down demand in either category.
On the ticket pricing side, as well as on onboard spend, your pricing is up versus 19. We use 19 as our reference point.
Onboard experiences have really become a much more integral part of the experience. What we have seen in the past couple of years is that we have a much more penetration of onboard experiences for our guests. So people just want to consume more, they're willing to spend more, and that's obviously much, that helps the yields and the revenues as well as the margin.
Pre-pandemic, analysts were impressed by Royal Caribbean's margin expansion. Operating margins doubled during Jason Liberty's first 7 years as CFO. The voyage ahead may not be as smooth, especially if inflated costs eat into revenue gains.
We've seen huge inflation costs on the food.
Right.
However, our supply chain teams have done really an exceptional job. So we do believe, which is what the basis of our trifecta program is, moderate yields and good cost control. And for us, good cost control is low single digit change year over year.
If you think about the cruise industry, there's a cost advantage for labor because they don't have to pay the minimum wages. And there's also cost advantage in supplies like food and beverage supplies because they buy them in quantity.
Jason, what are the conversations you have with Naftali about cost? Because it's such a big component of when you look at your financial statements.
Yeah. Where I've really focused NAF on is where can we become more efficient? Where can we use technology for us to become more efficient?
The food side, what we want to make sure is that the experience that we offer to the guests is great, because that's our mission. Maybe we can source more locally. Mm-hmm. Maybe we need some of it to source more globally. Just reimagine of how do we deliver on the service. And on the fuel side, we have an active hedging program, and we're very focused, which is good for our environment, is to minimize the reduce the consumption of fuel. And that is, obviously one of the...
Get a concise daily market update from Charles Schwab, including the latest on U.S. and global economic news, stock updates, monetary policy decisions, and key results and statistics that may impact your trading. Schwab Market Update is an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Join host Keith Lansford for this information-packed daily market recap, delivered in 10 minutes or less. Listen today at schwab.com/marketupdatepodcast or wherever you get your podcast. That's schwab.com/marketupdatepodcast.
Things that we can control the most.
What Royal Caribbean can't control, headwinds caused by world events that threaten growth. COVID zero has meant zero cruising in China since the start of 2020. War in Ukraine and recession signals are concerns in Europe. All this puts strain on the supply chain that provides Royal Caribbean's most important commodity, passengers.
Our sourcing for our guests come from 100 different locations around the world, and we created a platform for it to be very nimble. And so we're always sourcing the highest yielding guests from anywhere in the world. But our assets, our business moves, it's fluid. So when events do happen around the world, we have the ability really on a dime to move our deployment around or move our sourcing around to help mitigate that. So, like we always are, we're nimble, and our sourcing and our deployment's gonna be different in 2023, and then we'll see what 2024 brings.
Uncertainty about the future of travel has weighed on cruise stocks over the last 2 years. Despite signs of a rebound, investors remain cautious.
What is it gonna take for Wall Street to be like, we're comfortable with this?
Well, I think they're getting more comfortable with it. And I think once they start seeing 2023 guidance, and they see the level of profitability, the level of cash flow, I think at that point, we'll start to see the overall crystallization of where we are, and then begin to think about where we're going to be going.
Jason Liberty took over as chief executive of Royal Caribbean Cruises in January 2022, replacing Richard Fain, who had been CEO since 1988 and remains chairman of the company's board. Liberty's promotion fits with a trend. According to Christ Kolder's annual survey, more new CEOs are coming to the job directly from a CFO chair than ever before.
The role of the CFO, I think, has changed over time.
I agree.
Right? They become much more strategic. And of course, this world has become more data driven. And so being able to think in that way and of course being brought up that way and putting people in the CFO position that think that way versus maybe just doing accounting or treasury related activities, I think that's why you're starting to see more CFOs rise into the CEO spot, because there's a lot of that kind of commonality that comes in the day-to-day of the CEO job.
Royal Caribbean CFO Naftali Holtz brings a strategic and data-driven background to the CFO role, and he's mission-driven as well.
I was born and raised in Israel, and like everybody else, I enlisted into the Israeli Air Force. I had 4 very meaningful years serving my country and giving back. And then I always wanted to move to the United States. I had some family here, but I was just aspiring to the country, the opportunity. And I thought that the best way for me to do it is through going through business school. And I was fortunate to get into Chicago Booth and learn from the best and get some of those finance skills and knowledge. And then I started on Wall Street. It was just the natural, transition. I really felt compelled and interested about investments and the markets and companies and their stories. And I really learned a lot through transactions, interacting with CEOs and CFOs.
So how do you think having a career on Wall Street, finance background, maybe makes you a better CFO?
Obviously, all the skills that I had in my career on Wall Street, understanding how to raise capital, what investors are looking for, helped us in the beginning of the pandemic when we had to raise capital to make sure we get to the other side. So, just understanding the different instruments, the different ways to raise the capital, understanding the capital allocation, how we will prioritize investments, how we would prioritizing the cash flow. This business generates a lot of cash flow.
Right.
Is something that I'm focused on. And obviously, I've seen a lot of those in my career on Wall Street.
A cruise ship is much more than a flotilla of financials and numbers. Naftali Holtz showed me around the celebrity beyond, Royal Caribbean's newest ship, rolling out not the red carpet, instead the Magic Carpet, an example of investment that's yielding returns in several different ways.
Originally, actually, we designed it because we wanted to have a really nice platform for tendering, because sometimes we can't home port
destinations.
Functional. Exactly, value functional. And then we looked at it and said, why don't we just make it a really cool feature spot where people can enjoy it beyond the functional space, and we created this bar. It went up and down.
Now, what does it take to
How about the Instagram? Can you think about that?
I can imagine.
Instagram moment with the sunset, having a drink with your friends or family. I mean, that's amazing.
So what does it take to do something like this? And I'm thinking cost, engineering, time.
Yeah, a lot of effort from a lot of people. So it starts from just the design and the conceptual aspect of it. Then we need to figure out a lot of technical factors, the weight, the wind, and so lots of hours of really hard work. And every time we up the game, we see that customer willing to spend more.
Is there like a bunch of other innovative ideas that you guys are working on? Is there other things that maybe are in the hopper that might be like this that we might see in future ships?
Yes. Obviously the ships are core to how we deliver the best vacations in the world. And a couple years ago, we saw an opportunity to extend that even to land. So we built some private islands and exclusive destinations. Coco Cay is one example of it. And we have a lot of great ideas and projects in the hopper. And, you know, we're very focused on being disciplined. You know, we deploy billions of dollars on behalf of our shareholders. So we have for ourselves and for them, you know, a return expectation. So we just to make sure that as we invest the money, it's getting the returns we want.
In every corner of Celebrity Beyond, there's evidence of careful investment, designed to give customers every opportunity to spend money. And for passengers who want to spend a little more money, there's ample opportunity to upgrade.
This is our exclusive retreat area, and guests can upgrade, right, and buy a room, a stateroom here, and enjoy the exclusive access to those facilities. And you can see there's a pool, there's cabanas, obviously lots of opportunities for food and beverage.
The segmentation of giving, you know, passengers an opportunity to have a different experience, maybe pay up for a more premium experience. Is this kind of where it's all going?
Yeah, and I think it's really about everyone has a maybe a little bit different, desire of what their ultimate vacation is. Some people want to go and meet people. Some people just want to, because they came in with their family, just to go and spend their time alone. So it's really designed to be like the ultimate vacation, depending on what you want.
Royal Caribbean is one of three companies that together control about three quarters of the global cruising market. In 2021, its capacity share was second only to Carnival, and more than twice that of third place Norwegian Cruise Line. Royal Caribbean operates its ships under three brands with three distinct profiles.
On the Royal Caribbean brand, you know, they're more family focused, multi-generational. Our Celebrity brand is more of a premium luxury. And then we have Silver Sea, which is ultra luxury and expedition.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all business. And as passengers demand more choices, one way to fulfill them is bigger ships. In October, Royal Caribbean unveiled plans to launch what will be the largest ship in the world, Icon of the Seas. It will carry over 7,000 passengers. Its first cruise, set for January 2024, sold out within hours.
If you're going on a 7-day voyage, you're going to be able to do anything and everything that you could possibly dream of. And you know, it might be what you want to do, it might be what your daughter wants to do, right. It might be what your parents want to do. And everybody can have different experiences and we describe it as the thrill and the chill.
We offer a lot more on the ship. They become much more profitable because there's so much more to do. There's economies of scale, and there are efficiencies in operations. So each ship that we deliver is actually much more profitable.
Royal Caribbean is also investing in technology to drive profits.
To say that cruise industry is actually one of the leaders when it comes to digital transformation, and I see that accelerating in the future.
We want to make sure that we create a frictionless experience, right? The expectations today from the consumer is that the experience is frictionless.
Especially through the pandemic, people got very comfortable for on-demand services. They wanted groceries, they went to Instacart and so forth.
I do it all through here.
All through your phone, that's exactly right. People want to organize themselves well in advance of getting on our ships.
Right.
So they want to be able to book their spa appointments, they want to be able to book their shore excursions well in advance of them ever getting onto the ship. And of course, when they do that, they actually tend to spend more money, which is also a good thing. So we have to take friction, and we have been taking friction out of that experience.
Is there some application where there's the app and there's kind of a metaverse where I can kind of walk through the ship before I even get on and decide what I want to do or where I want to go?
Yeah, well, I think it's even greater than that. I actually think in the metaverse where we're going to be able to do is to help people begin to dream what their vacation is going to be, and to be able to put on either your Oculuses or using their phones to really understand what they're going to expect location by location.
Are you working on this already?
We are working on this already.
Wow.
And I think it's going to change. It's going to change how people book cruises.
Right.
And then that content helps us understand how we need to modify and change our product.
Isn't that a beautiful thing?
That's awesome.
Royal Caribbean already understands the need to make its operations greener. The company just opened a state-of-the-art zero-energy cruise terminal in Galveston, Texas, at a cost of $125 million. Even the behemoth Icon of the Seas is being built with sustainability in mind.
That ship will have LNG as the base fuel for that ship. Now, LNG is not perfect.
Right.
It's a transitional fuel. It will produce 20 to 30% less carbon. We're putting a 1,200 megawatt fuel cell onto the ship, and we're looking at tri-fuel engines so that we'll be prepared for things when, whether it's methanol or hydrogen or other comes into place.
Sustainability is table stakes going forward. 6 in 10 consumers in the U.S. are concerned about the travel industry's impact on climate change. And when we ask consumers who is responsible for fixing it, a plurality say it's the responsibility of companies in the industry.
The cruise line has to go green. There is no other option because millennials are the biggest group of consumers today already, and in the future even more, and they are choosing those cruise lines that are sustainable. And there is no room for greenwashing in this area.
It's one of our goals, right, to reduce our carbon intensity by double digits by 2025. Mm-hmm. And innovation around the environment is something that the company has done for many, many years. I'll give you a quick example. Last couple of years, we wanted to reduce the waste of food on the ship. It's good for business. It's also good for the environment. Mm-hmm. We've used technology for that, really understand how much is it that we have the waste of the food, and we've implemented technology to help us reduce that waste. We are working really closely with ports around the world because when the ship is on port, we can maybe plug into their green grid or power the ship with a fuel cell. And then part of it is really the fuel of the future, which we continue to have a lot of partnerships and R&D. As we continue that journey. So we're focused on it.
There is so much to focus on as a CFO engaged in a company's restart following a complete shutdown. I asked Naftali Holtz what he sees when he looks ahead.
What's the opportunity for Royal Caribbean in the next 10 years that most excites you?
Continue to grow our market share in the leisure space, just even beyond cruising.
So what's the challenge for the company in the next 10 years that keeps you up at night?
First of all, I sleep quite okay at night, but I think we just continue to, I think what we want to really focus on, to me, is to continue to innovate, continue to be retaining the best talent and the culture of innovation and DNA, and kind of making sure that we continue to evolve and with the world and the consumer.
What's the best advice for the future that you would give to someone who was promoted to CFO today?
Listen a lot. Really get into the business and what is it that's really driving it to be really impactful and influential.
With two thoughtful and experienced financial leaders at the helm, Royal Caribbean is setting a course for its next chapter. Jason Liberty and Naftali Holtz feel prepared for whatever the future brings. I'm Carol Masser. This is Bloomberg.